looking at this sort of prophetic timetable, and we were looking last week at the whole thing of destiny and what God is doing. Obviously, we've done 15 weeks of this, so I can't go into this in any great depth. But these are periods of time which God is calling and working with his church, bringing the church to a place where we are fully operating in the fullness of God's kingdom, seeing a harvest come in and Jesus return. And the bottom part of that, over here, is about intimacy. Knowing who we are, knowing who God is, and a call into that place of intimacy. Intimacy means we can engage with God here, and also we can engage with God where he is, and he's in the heavenly realms. That's a picture of the heavenly realms, all sorts of different things that go on in the heavenly realms. Jesus is in the heavens, and he's invited us to be there. He lived in dual realms. He lived on earth and in heaven at the same time, and that was why he was able to do the things that God showed him to do. We can do the same. Paul said that we're seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. So we're seated there. Now, we know that the Bible says that, but actually we need to actually experience it and live there and operate from there to here to manifest the kingdom as it is in heaven on earth, because Jesus told us to pray that in the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if we don't know what the kingdom is in heaven, how are we going to manifest it here on earth? So we've been invited to participate with him in authority in the heavenly realms. And in the future, our whole eternity is going to be spent fulfilling our destiny in God in the heavenly realms when earth is renewed and restored and put back into the center of God's purposes. The heavenly realms is like God's kingdom, and the Hebrew way of thinking is it is right here. Jesus said the kingdom is at hand. So literally that means it's as close to me as my hand is to my face, the air I breathe, and I can turn into that kingdom and receive the resources from that kingdom, or I can look into the kingdom of my own heart, the kingdom of the world, the kingdom that's in darkness, and draw from that source. You will draw from one source or another. You can't be in the middle. You're drawing from one source or another. Therefore, everyone has a choice, a free will, where they choose to receive their life from. Last week we looked about destiny. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So before there was anything of me, I still existed in eternity in the thoughts of God. I existed. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I set you apart for a purpose. And this was for Jeremiah. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. All of us have been appointed to the purpose of God. Some of us don't know that purpose. Some of us know it and aren't fulfilling it fully. But all of us have a destiny that was made in eternity because God knew us there. And the word know means intimacy. Not just knew about us, but knew us. So our spirit, who we were, existed before we were formed in a body. Psalm 139:16, your eyes have seen my unformed substance. So there was a substance that I was before I was formed in my mother's womb. That substance was of my spirit, which is of eternity. In your book, the scroll, were written all the days that you ordained for me, when there was not yet one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast the sum of them. God has so many thoughts towards us. It's awesome to think of it, but God wants us to know it, and he wants us to know what's on that scroll. He wants us to fulfill that destiny. How do we do that? We need to set our hearts towards it. If you want to know why you're here, who you are as a person, you need to set your heart towards discovering it. Set your desire upon it. Seek it. Pursue it. It's like we'll never know who we are unless we pursue our relationship with God. Intimacy. To hear, to feel, to see, to experience God in real intimacy. There's a sound, a frequency that's coming out of heaven, a song from heaven that he calls us to become into resonance with, into agreement with, into harmony with. Every one of us has a song that our life is, and God wants it to come into harmony with the song of heaven to form a wonderful symphony of sound which will transform our planet and transform the universe. We need to believe in faith, engage, desire and pursue it, bring ourselves into alignment, surrender. Friday night, all about surrendering ourselves to God, submitting to the government of God, Jesus being Lord of our lives. When we've been Lord of our lives, it didn't work out too well. When he's Lord of our lives, he will provide and lead us. So we need to live purposefully for unravelling of the scroll of our destiny, so it's outworked in reality, not just on a piece of paper or not just in something which is a scroll in heaven. So we need to know, and for me, I want to know everything, because I don't want to miss out on anything. I want my full inheritance. I want to know the testimony, what's written in me in heaven. I want to know what the blood of Jesus does as my overcoming power. I need revelation of my sonship, the courts in heaven, the throne in heaven, the garden treasure room, all sorts of rooms in heaven where we can have access to gain and fulfill our destiny. I want to know. Now, there are patterns on earth as it is in heaven, the Lord's Prayer. So there's a heavenly pattern, there's a church pattern, and there's a personal pattern. And often these things are the same, it's just worked out on different levels. If you understand what chaos theory says, it says everything looks the same on a big scale, and if you break it down to a minute scale, it all looks the same. Let me go into that now. So there's a temple in heaven, and there's a temple here, the church. Then our lives are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you see, heaven, the church, earth. There's a river of life and lots of other rivers in heaven. There's the river which comes from the church, and it says in Ezekiel 47, and there are rivers of living water that flow out of our innermost being. There's the mountain of God, Ezekiel 28. There's the mountain of the house of the Lord, Isaiah 2:2. And there are mountains and heaven in the heavenlies and in our garden inside us. I discovered some last week. For the first time, didn't know they were there. I was in time of teaching, and put some music on and just did a little study, and ended up in a place in my spirit, in my garden inside me, where I'd never been before, and I saw seven mountains, because now I'd discovered them in the heavenly realm. So what you discover in the heavenly realms gets outworked on the inside. Now, intimacy, this is what I want to talk about today. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand and at the door and knock. This is Jesus talking. He's talking about standing at the door, which is in our heart. Now, often this is used as a verse in evangelism. People don't know Jesus. Basically, we can say, well, Jesus is knocking on the door of your life and saying, let me in. Now, that's a thing that we can use. But in reality, it's actually talking to Christians that Jesus is on the inside of us, the Father's on the inside of us, and they're knocking, saying, let me out. To fill your life and to flow through your life to the life around you, to manifest my kingdom rule through you, in you, and around you. And if we open that door, it says, I will come in to him and dine with him. Intimacy, fellowship, relationship, and he with me. Now, I know people struggle with intimacy. I know I've struggled with intimacy with God. When I became a Christian when I was about 12, I had no concept of God being a father, because I didn't have a very good earthly father. I struggled with my relationship with my earthly father, and therefore I could not see God as father. For me, he was the Lord, or he was Jesus. So when I prayed to Jesus, or I prayed to the Lord, never prayed to the Father. Because I was wounded by my own father, and therefore I protected my heart towards father figures. Now, as a result of that, we all need love, we all need acceptance, we all need to know who we are. I sought that in relationships with other people, particularly girls. That's what you do when you're a teenager often. And then I found someone who I thought I loved, my first love, if you like, and then I got hurt. And I can remember one afternoon, got really seriously hurt, and on the bus on the way home, vowed, I will never be hurt like that again. Many of us have made vows like that. Put a barrier around my heart, protected me from hurt and damage, and kept everyone at arm's distance and kept me safe, but also kept me locked up and in a prison within my own emotions. So I became a very mental person, not mad, but just mental in terms of using my intellect. Some of you might disagree with that and think, yes, he's mad. But I actually used my mind and my intellect to package things up so I didn't have to deal with emotions. Protected myself, which kept me from intimacy. So I never really knew about an intimate relationship with God or anybody else because I kept myself safe and secure behind prison doors. So when it came to if Jesus was knocking on the door in my heart, I really struggled to open it. But, you know, God met with me over various encounters and he healed my heart. First time I was in a small group of people worshipping, and like God spoke to me and said, I am your father. And I'm like, ooh. So I struggled with the concept, like many of us do, because we have our own earthly fathers. But he broke through that and put his arms around me, and I felt the presence of his arms around me, and it enabled me then to talk to him as father, communicate with him as father. But I also needed to deal with the things that were in my own heart. I can remember when Hannah was our first daughter, who's in Barcelona with my wife this weekend, and her hen do. When she was about 1.5, she was very forward in speaking. She toddled up to me while I was sitting on the set. He looked into my eyes and said, Daddy, I love you. Broke me in half. It's like, absolutely, I was gutted that I didn't know how to receive it. It was like, ugh, tears. It was like really, really, but it challenged me to deal with the things that broke my heart. The things I protected and guarded and kept people out with had locked me up so I couldn't receive God's love. All the love of others. So intimacy is something we have to pursue, and we have to overcome the obstacles that are in our lives that stop us having intimacy. Because if we're guarded and are protecting ourselves because of previous hurts and past experiences, then we will stop ourselves being able to fully enter into the things that God wants us to enter into. All the songs we were singing this morning about knowing the love of God, being a lover of God, seeing God face to face, being in intimate relationship with him, will be a struggle if we're wounded. And I thought I dealt with all my wounds when I was in heaven and meeting with God, and I was talking to Jesus, and Jesus spoke to me and said, you've not met the Father. And I'm like, no, I haven't. And I knew on the inside that I hadn't. And he said to me, it's because you have a father wound. And I thought, I was going to argue with him, but it's not much point arguing with God. I thought, well, I've forgiven everybody, I've forgiven my dad, I've had ministry, I've met with the Father before. And he said, no, you've got a father wound. And he showed me a picture of my heart, and it had a big scar all over it. And, you know, I was like, undone, really. It's one of those, oh, woe is me. And it's like, he said, will you let me heal it? So I'm like, yeah, please. And for about 40 minutes, the Father came to me and spoke to me and actually just said the same words over and over again. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And each word he spoke, I love you, I love you, healed my heart. And just, I looked down and the scar was gone. And I had such wonderful times of intimacy with the Father. And I know God wants us to enter into those places of reality, of intimacy with God. Not just knowing about him, but knowing him. He's knocking and saying, will you let me in? There's a place within us where God's glory dwells, and that door is something we have to open daily. It's not a once and for all thing. It's that every day we need to open the door in our hearts, let God in, and enter into a relationship with him. Because it's like a door that comes into a garden in our hearts. A relationship of intimacy is what God wants. You can't do it half-hearted. God doesn't want a bit of our heart. He wants the whole of our hearts. It's like we were singing today about him holding our hearts. He wants to hold our hearts. He wants to have a relationship with us, which there are no barriers and nothing in between. But we've got to let those barriers down, and we've got to invite him into that place. Mark 12:30, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. There's nothing about all which isn't all. is everything. The more we give to God, the more we get back from God. If we're struggling in intimacy and struggling to receive from God, it's probably because we've not given everything we need to give Him. Give Him our heart. Surrender it to Him and allow Him to fill us and to bring us into that place. Jeremiah 29:13, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." You can't do it half-hearted. You can't seek after God in a half-hearted way if you want the fullness of what the kingdom of God is in our lives today. The fullness of health and wholeness and intimacy and everything to fulfill our destiny. Proverbs 3:5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." How much do we lean on our own understanding? How much do we do things in our own strength and our own way, because that's how we've been used to doing it, because actually if I don't do it, no one else will do it for me, and we protect ourselves again, keep people at a distance and keep God away, and we try and do it ourselves. It doesn't work. Most of you know it doesn't work. You don't feel fulfilled, satisfied, you don't feel completely at one with who you are, your identity, and why you're here on this planet, because we don't know God in the fullness that He wants to know. Psalm 9, "I give thanks to the Lord with all my heart." Joel 2:12, "Return to me with all your heart." God is saying that to people today. People who've known Him in the past, He's saying, "Return to me." He's calling. That's the sound that's coming out of heaven right now. It's saying, "Return to me with all your heart." And God's saying that today. Return to me. Come to me. If you've never known me before, come to me today. Intimacy, got a few things there. I'm sure why the top one hasn't come out. In terms of stuff there, which is to do with just a definition of it. Intimate association in a close personal relations, inmost, deep, within. Intimacy, the state of being intimate association or friendship, a feeling of emotional or spiritual closeness, a feeling or atmosphere of closeness, openness towards someone else, not necessarily involving sexuality, obviously with God. It's not sexual, but it is intimate and it is emotional. Oh, that's the top one. To know God by personal experience. The word "know" in the Old Testament and in the New Testament literally means to know God by personal experience and encounter, like a husband knows their wife in an intimate way. That intimate, and God wants us to know Him that way. He doesn't want any barriers. Intimacy is linked with feelings of closeness, safety, trust, transparency among partners in a collaborative relationship. All these are dictionary things that I got off the internet. We sang this today. God is a lover, looking for a lover, so He fashioned me, He formed my heart. God made us for relationship with Him. And without that relationship, there isn't fulfillment. And a partial relationship isn't fulfillment. God wants us to know Him. He wants to know us fully because we surrender ourselves to Him. He formed us for relationship. He knows everything about us already, but He wants us to surrender to Him so that there's two-way relationship. 1 Corinthians 6:15 says this, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one with her? For he says the two shall become one flesh." Verse 17, "But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with Him." So this is contrasting what it is to be joined sexually with somebody, to become one flesh, and what it is to be joined with the Lord and become one spirit. True intimacy. Giving yourself to one another. That's what God is looking for. John 14:20 describes that relationship. In that day, and this is the day after the resurrection, that Jesus came back and met with His disciples and breathed upon them the Holy Spirit, He said, "I am in my Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you." Intimacy. Can't get much more intimate than that. Jesus is in the Father, and we're in Him, He's in us. There's this awesome relationship. John 14:23, we will come to him and make our home, our abode, our special dwelling place with him. When we give our lives to God, when we enter into a personal relationship with him, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit come to live on the inside of us, within our spirit. And that's where we have to open the door into the rest of our life to actually relate and to flow in intimacy with God. Luke 17:21, the kingdom of God is within you. God's presence of his kingdom is on the inside of us. But guess what? He doesn't want to stay there. He wants to come out through our lives to touch other people and the world around us, manifest in his kingdom. All of us are a habitation of God. God lives within us, and that means we are connected to the kingdom which is in heaven, and therefore we can access that realm as well. Now, I've found some quotes from some prophetic guides who prophesy some things about intimacy, and I want to read some of them. It says, we need to allow God's passion for us to transform our hearts and fill us with a new passion for him. What God is after is that the sun of our solar system, our hearts, burn for him. He is a God who first and foremost is desirous of a deep personal relationship, a relationship with a transparency like Adam and Eve had before the fall. We were singing about walking with God in the Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden was a garden that God was a God, and I'll talk about that a little bit more in the future, but it's a place where we can walk with God. That garden now is on the inside of us. A place where we can fellowship and walk and talk with God in the cool of the day. But we need to love God with everything if we're going to encounter him there. 1 John 1:3 says, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. This is the disciples. They've seen and they've heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. See, what they shared in the relationship with Jesus while Jesus was here on earth, they wanted other people to share and come into. And because we didn't live 2,000 years ago, we're not going to miss out. We can have the same intimate relationship and walk with Jesus today because he's with us and he's in us. And he wants us to have that relationship with him. We need to walk in the light with him. 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. When we walk in the light, we also fellowship with each other in that place where we're together. Intimacy empowered Jesus to face the trials of the enemy, and this same intimacy equips us to overcome the trials of life. I'm convinced that just as the Father spoke strength to Jesus by expressing his delight in him, so God will empower us by assuring us of his delight in us. Nothing else will be able to sustain our hearts in what is to come. It's a quote from Bill Johnson. God wants us to know how he feels about us, that he delights in us. He doesn't see us as wasters, losers, failures. No matter what we've done in our past, he sees us according to our future. And the potential of our future is to fulfill our destiny in him. And he sees us that way. And he wants us to see us that way as well. Genesis 5:24. Probably one of the most intimate guys who walked on the planet, Enoch. He wrote a wonderful book which isn't in the Bible, but if you read it, you'll see all sorts of things about the relationship with God. Talks in Jude about Enoch prophesying about Jesus' return. It says in verse 24 there, Enoch walked in habitual fellowship with God, and he was not, for God took him home with him. Enoch is in heaven right now. He didn't die. He was taken straight to heaven because his intimacy with God was such a level that he didn't want to be apart from God, and God just let him be with him. And he still is. You can go to heaven and you can talk with Enoch and find out about it. Psalm 27:4 says, David, again, David wrote the Psalms, they're very intimate things of his relationship with God. It says, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Now, don't think of the temple as a church. Think of the temple as the body, which houses the Holy Spirit. So you can seek the face of God on the inside of you, in relationship, in intimacy, in your own heart. But you have to seek his face there. Psalm 27:8, you have said, seek my face, inquire for and require my presence as your vital need. My heart says to you, your face, your presence, Lord, will I seek, inquire for and require of necessity and on the authority of your word. That was David's heart. David, who said, my soul pants after the living God. God wants us to seek his face and pursue him and his presence as a vital need. In other words, something you cannot do without. God wants us to be so seeking him for intimacy that we cannot do anything without it. That's the relationship that Jesus had with the Father, and he wants us to have that relationship of intimacy with him as well. This is another prophetic statement. It says, get ready for a breakthrough unlike any you've had in the past. You may have had breakthroughs in your finances or in other areas of your life, but this is a breakthrough into intimacy. That's right, the King himself has invited you into his chamber to tell you the secrets of his heart. The Lord is about to woo you into deeper levels of love, revelation and passion. You're breaking through a barrier of the flesh and entering a new season of relationship with the lover of your soul. That is where God is taking us as a church. That's where God is taking us in this season, into a place of deeper revelation of him and his intimacy into the chamber of his heart. Deep calls from deep, from the sound of his waterfall. The sound of the waterfall of the presence of God coming causes the deep things of our heart to search after the deep things of the heart of God. And God is calling us into that place. It's another statement. It says, you may have distanced yourself from him, from God, because of fear or doubt, or where you stand in your relationship with him. Today the Lord says, let my perfect love cast away all your fears. Drop any preconceived notions you may have in your arms now. Prepare for a full embrace with the King. God wants to embrace you and love you and let you know that love. Psalm 91:1 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. When we start abiding in the shadow of the Almighty, God starts to inhabit that place and meet with us. Song of Solomon 1:2, may he kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Wine signifies the best that the world's got to offer, but the love of God is better than anything the world has to offer. Your oils have a pleasing fragrance. Your name is like purified oil. Therefore the maidens love you. Draw me after you and let us run together. The King has brought me into his chambers. Intimacy. God wants us intimate with him. There are four levels of sort of intimacy of relationship. One, distant. You may have an acquaintance with God. That's what the children of Israel had. They saw the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of a mountain, and they were afraid to go any close. Some of you may feel God is just too holy, too big, too scary to get near. If I get near, he'll punish me because he'll see what I'm really like. Therefore, we keep a distance. God knows what you're like, and he loves you anyway. We've sang about that again this morning. God does not want us to have a relationship with him like an acquaintance. He wants something more. There's a relationship of the knowledge of friendship with God. Exodus 24:9 says, Moses went up with Aaron and a few others and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw God of Israel, and they beheld God, and they ate and drank with him. So they saw God. But there was something more. A courtship relationship. Knowing the presence of God. Many of us know the presence of God. We feel his presence as we worship. We feel his presence as we pray, as we come into his presence on a daily basis. And he wants that relationship of courtship where he's courting us and wooing us to go deeper. See, Exodus 24:13 says, Moses arose with Joshua his servant, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. Joshua and Moses went up. Joshua was able to, because whenever the presence of God was, he lingered there. But then there's marriage. Face-to-face intimacy with the person of God. That's what Moses had. Exodus 24:15. Moses went up the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain, and the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days, and on the seventh day he called Moses from the midst of the cloud. Many of us are like in that period of the 6 days. We're in the presence of God, in the cloud of his presence. We're experiencing him in many different ways, but he's calling us to come face to face. Moses had a desire for intimacy. Exodus 33:13. Moses said this to God, "Let me know your ways." He wanted to know the heart of God, but he wasn't satisfied with that. But God met him in that way. This is what God says of Moses in Exodus 33:11. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as God speaks to his friend. That's how God wants to speak to us, face to face, like a friend. And Moses basically said in verse 18, "I pray, show me your glory." It wasn't enough for Moses just to see some of God. He wanted to see the glory of God, the manifestation of his real presence. And in Numbers 12:8 it says, "Moses, will I speak mouth to mouth?" God spoke intimacy with Moses. Exodus 34:29 says, "Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because of his speaking with God." Literally, he shone with the glory of God because he spent time in the presence of God. That is what God wants for us. He wants us to shine with the very presence. And I'm actually talking physically here. This was physical, not just spiritual. Moses' face shone with glory. So much so they had to put a veil over it because people were scared. Now, if you start walking around with the glory shining out of your face, people are going to take notice. Jesus was transfigured and shone with glory, showing that we need to do the works that Jesus did and greater works. That is something that God wants us to do. And we need to focus first on meeting with God who dwells on the inside of us. The kingdom of heaven is in us, and then we can start to engage God in the heavenly realms. Within our spirit, there is a secret place, a garden. Isaiah 51:3, Isaiah 58:11 talk about that. It's been a well-watered garden where there's a spring of life bubbling up. John 14:14 talks about that, a wellspring of life within us. A river of living water flowing from us, John 7:38. He wants us to engage him in that way. But we have to cultivate that garden relationship. If you have a garden and you don't plant anything in it, you don't tend it, it will become overgrown and useless. You have to cultivate a relationship with God. It's not enough just to, "Well, I know God." God wants intimacy, and he wants you to require intimacy. I want to encourage you to press into that. I'm going to read a poem. I just want you to hear the words of this poem. It says, "It's time to dance with the King. Let him his love impart. Embrace him closely, face to face. Dance with him, heart to heart. It's time to dance with our King and never look away. In love forever, with a love that gaze will never stray. Allow his love to light your path and lead you in your ways. For only he knows the road. And can our hearts amaze? We've danced too long the world's way and kept step to its tune, but no one else can love like him and cause our hearts to swoon. Let's guard our hearts from all but him. His love is all complete. Dancing in his strengthening arms, just let him guide your feet. Allow his love to light your path and lead you in all your ways. For only he knows the road and can our hearts amaze. I see him reaching out to us, his scepter, for this dance. And he says, will you dance with me inside each circumstance? I'll teach you the steps and moves and give you favour sure. I promise my love will not leave, but evermore endure. So will you let me take your hand? Let me your life embrace. Let me, the lifter of your head, make all your pain erase. Just follow close now, let me lead. As you rest safe from harm, for from this desert I'll lead you as you lean on my arm. I'll take away the heavy load that you cannot endure as I sweep you from evil's grasp into my arms secure. It's time to dance now with our King, the King and Lord of all. Reach out and take his hand today, responding to his call. Time to dance now with the King. Let him his love impart. Embrace him closely, face to face. Dance with him, heart to heart. It's time to dance now with our King, and never look away. In love forever, with a love which nevermore will stray. That's what God wants for us. I want to finish with a piece of music and a little video clip that goes with it. I'll encourage you just to still your hearts and allow God to embrace you and allow God to move with you in this. Some of you have seen this before. Some of you will just engage with God in your garden. So in pictures and images of ladies, because God wants us to see ourselves as a bride of Christ. If anyone here thinks, I don't know God like that, I've never maybe met God before, then there's an opportunity for you just to surrender your heart to God today. Maybe you've walked with God in the past, but you're not walking with Him in intimacy now, and God is just saying, come back. So I'm just going to pray a prayer. If you want to pray along with me on the inside, you don't need to say it out loud, but if you mean it from your heart, God will meet with you and bring you back into that place of intimacy and relationship where you will know the love of God, feel the love of God, experience His presence so that you can pursue your destiny in Him. So Father, I'm sorry for not walking with you. I ask you to forgive me. I choose to accept Jesus and what He did for me on the cross, to forgive my sins and give me a brand new beginning, a new start. So I receive you into my life today. To be loved and accepted by you, and I choose now to follow you and to surrender to you and give you my life and enter into an intimacy with you as a father and their child. Amen.